It's up to them, isn't it, really? I just love it. My tree, you would not believe it. I asked my wife to see a picture after. I love it. Well, I met a bloke once. He said to me, I'm not going to preach yet, but and he got all sort of ultra-religious and talked about how you shouldn't have a Christmas tree, because in Ezekiel, someone cut down a tree and stuck it in a cucumber field. And I said to him, I'm not going to stick it in a cucumber field. It's going in my lounge. I love Christmas. I love every bit about it. I love the whole... Oh, it's too commercialised. Only if you let it. Exactly. You know, my kids used to laugh. Anyway, I'm not going to get myself in trouble today. It's Christmas. Thank you so much for your generosity for Uganda. I cannot express how... Again, it's Christmas, isn't it? And it's lovely to give. We'll try again. And it's lovely to give. Yeah. Oh, if you don't want it, I'll have it. How don't you bring it? But I think it's great, isn't it? So far at home, we've raised a bit of money as a church. And what have we bought so far? We have bought 10 widows will get a kind of like a Christmas hamper. We've bought 1,000 textbooks, 22p each, 96 pages. No, anyway, but if you buy them in bulk, you get them cheaper. 500 pencils, that's that side of the house. Then we've bought, for the clinic, so far, we've bought an examination couch, a hospital bed, some screens, a hospital trolley. Is that it? And look at my. So far. But the church has got some money. You have graciously given us some money. We will see, the clinic stocked. Some goats are going to come, yeah. You've got one old goat here. All right, let's pray. Loving God, you are generous. We give because you first gave. God so loved the world that he gave. And Lord, help us to be givers. Firstly, giving ourselves to you. We owe you a debt we cannot repay, that you gave the best of heaven to save wretches like us. You came that we might know you, that we might love you, that we might in life in its fullness. We have a future hope that will not disappoint us. Soon and very soon we will see you face to face. But until then, you have left your Holy Spirit to live in us and be amongst us. So Holy Spirit, come today. Take this word. Speak to each of our hearts. Bring a change. That Jesus might be glorified. That we might just love you more. Serve you with more passion. We thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, the people of God say, Amen. Amen. Why don't I just turn somebody near to you and give me a hello? Glad you could come. I always enjoy the worship here, by the way. Honestly, I enjoy it. I do. All right. We love coming, honestly. Right, there. Matthew 16. Verses 13 through 16. Jesus is at Caesarea Philippi. Say that. Caesarea Philippi. And Caesarea Philippi is the source of the Jordan. And it's also a place where they had all these shrines. And it's even today. I've been there, don't you know? Yeah. And it's got all these shrines. And full of deities, all the different gods. So amidst all of that, you can do a lot more to it, but we ain't got time to do it today. Amidst all of that, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, who do men say I am? Now, firstly, Jesus don't care what you say about him. He is what he is. But it's an interesting question. Who do men say I am? To which the disciples respond, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the other prophets. Jesus narrows it down and says, but who do you say I am? And Peter says, well, Lord, you are the Christ. He said, blessed are you, Peter, the son of our John, and all of that stuff. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. Who do you say I am? And I think in the midst of all the Christmas, ho, 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 jingle bells, reindeer and everything else, it's easy to lose Christ out of Christmas. But I want to say to you firstly that in the church, it's easy to lose Christ. Who do you say I am? Well, some say you are John the Baptist. Why do they say that? Well, you are a reformer. You are preaching fire and brimstone. Repent. Yeah, a reformer. You come to make Israel. They all went out of Jordan to John, didn't they? Down to Jordan to John to be baptized of him. So maybe you've come to restore proper religion. What a horrible thought. But you've come to restore religion. You've come to bring Israel back to its God, which is good, isn't that? There's nothing wrong with that. Or you are Elijah. Now, when you... I like being here because we can get into it. Two things, Moses and Elijah. Yeah? Moses, the law. Elijah, the prophets. Elijah is the chief prophet. The big guy. Why? Because signs and wonders and miracles, healings, calling down fire from heaven is a pretty good one, isn't that? Give it a try. Go out. You know, he's the leader of the pack. So maybe you are the kind of, because we've seen what you've done, you know, I mean, you've fed 5,000, you've blind, deaf, all them people. Maybe you're just a great man. I think in the church, if we're not careful, we degenerate. You see, I'm just saying, if you're not careful, all these things are good. But if we're not careful, we lose the real thing. You are Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Jesus comes up to Jerusalem. What's the first thing he does? He says, and as he drew near the city, Jesus wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou slayer of the prophets, how I would have gathered you as a chicken gathers his chicks under its wings. Jesus, at Lazarus' tomb. Remember? What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. It's not a cuss. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Why? Because when he saw death, when he saw what sin had done to humanity, when he saw the consequence of the pain of separation and things, Jesus wept. We do not have a great high priest who is unable to be in touch by our infirmities, but is always tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what it's like, and we'll come to that in a minute, to be one of us. Jesus wept. And he wept. I want to tell you today, he's not unable to be touched by our infirmities. You know, we loved ones die. And we'll be tough, suck it up, you know. And we tend to suck it up with God if we're not careful. But Jesus knows. And he weeps with us. I like that. He's there with Mary and Martha. And Jesus goes to the tomb. And he weeps. So we've still got this. So we've got now what we've got? John the Baptist, the reformer. Elijah, the great guy. Jesus. See, even now, this yishy Christmas. Last one. Oh, maybe just one of the other prophets. You know, you're a good guy. Maybe there's something about God about you, but. So I think in all these things, if we're not careful, they'll creep into our thinking, and they'll creep into our church life. Let's be honest, how many churches now? Jesus ain't holy no more, he's just one of the guys, hangs out. He'll chill with you and do what you like, man. No. So all this, and Jesus takes it from the general to the specific. From the general to the personal. But who do you say I am? Not what do they say, but who do you say? See, because when you stand before God in eternity and you stand before the throne, it won't be what they said. It won't be what your mum said. It won't be what Dr. Thingy Doofa Watts said in his Christmas message. What do you think? Who do you think I am? And I've worded it, who do you think I am? I'll tell you why. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Matthew 12. No. Matthew 12 is this one. Out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I can, you're not going to like this, locate what you think about Jesus by what comes out of your mouth. Amen. Everyone thinks, what did I say? Because what we say is also going to be reflected in what we do. Is that all right? So I can locate what you think about Jesus. And if you're not careful, you see, now you've got this reformer. Some people get very religious. Favourite colour, black. Favourite word, no. Or you've got, you know, I feel it. We don't live on feelings. Or, I love it, mate. We don't live on our emotions. We don't live in Jesus just being a good guy amongst many guys. We're going to put Christ back in Christmas. But who do you say I am? And Peter, now, we miss all of this. When he says this, you know, for a good kosher boy, good Jewish boy, this, he must have virtually gagged it out, ready? Because for him to say, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the promised one. You are the hope of Israel. When he said that, it weren't just, oh, you're the Christ. But for him now, his life has been spent looking for this one. All his religious education, and he's a good Jewish boy. Remember when he goes up on the roof and the sheets let down from heaven with all unclean things, and he says, rise up and kill. He says, I've never done that. All my life, I've lived a kosher life. Are we all right so far? So when he says, you are the Christ, for him, that is an anointing. A statement of such great depth. Because when he says, you are the Christ, what he's actually said is, you are the Messiah, the Meshach, the Anointed One. Now, you see, do you still call him the Anointed One? The Bible, we can stay here for Christmas, can we? The Bible talks about three Old Testament, typically three sorts of people. Prophets, priests, and kings. These were the ones that were the anointing. Mm-hmm. So when he says, you are the Christ, you are the Christos, you are the Messiah, you are the Meshach, you are the Anointed One. He's saying you are God's prophet, priest, and king. And those of you who want to do your homework, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spoke to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, prophet. is the express image of his likeness of his image, who, when he had purged us from our sins, priest, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, king. What is Jesus now? He is prophet, priest, and king. He is the anointed one. What's Acts 10:38 say? You'll know it. How God anointed him. Jesus is 30 years of age. He's not the Messiah until he's 30. There's some homework for you. He comes down to Jordan. The Spirit of God comes upon him in bodily form. Jesus stands up, takes Isaiah 61 and says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is now upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to blind, heal the broken heart, set liberty those who are oppressed, and so on and so forth. And then he goes from there in the power of that anointing and does his miracles. Before he's 30, Jesus does no miracles. Those of you who like some homework, Isaiah 10, around about verse 26, I think. Yeah, and it says it's the anointing that destroys the yokes of bondage. Now Jesus, anointed with the Holy Spirit, goes out and does what he does as the anointed of God. Acts 10:38 tells you a bit more. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Hebrews 13:8 says what? And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and maybe. No. Yesterday he definitely was. Tomorrow he will definitely be. But today is the day of salvation. Today, Jesus Christ is the same. Today, he is the anointed one who goes around doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. And the word oppressed, thalipsis. Go on, just try saying it. Thalipsis. I got a little grandbaby, and in his early days, he was a little bit of a thalipsis. You know, he had a... Anyway, it means to be... You're right, yeah? Under pressure. He goes around healing all who are under pressure. And I tell you what, there's many in this room who won't acknowledge it, but under various pressures, under various weights. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is still the anointed one of God who lifts the burdens, sets the captives free, recovery of sight to blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed. God, I'm going to there. That's good, isn't it? What do men call me? What do you call me? Well, I call you firstly then Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. I feel very sort of edumacated today. Wherever you see L on the back, it means God. So like Samuel, yeah, something God. Let me think of Samuel. Nathaniel, something God. So wherever you see the L on the back, God's involved. Emmanuel, not bad. That's an easy one, this one. Emmanuel with a U on the end. Means with us. El means God. Translated, God with us. All right, now you've got your... You feel very educated now, don't you? You're stuffing in Yorkshire pud thinking... Oh, God with us. And it comes from, what is it? There. Isaiah 7, isn't it? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I'm just going to say something to you today. He says, love. No, not the good one. You're right, Emma. It's a good one. Something to ponder on. How many times you sort of, if God was with us, if only God was here, if only I could tell God about my situation. If God, there's a friend who stays closer than a brother. A friend loves at all times. I can go on and on and on. God is with us. He's not some far potentate floating around on a cloud, some ethereal, Jasper with a difference. Emmanuel, God with us. And the word, John 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Tabernacled is the, I like that. Put Christ back in Christmas. As you're sitting down, whacking into your turkey, there's one who stays closer than a brother. An ever-present help in time of trouble. Who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. The one who says, when you walk through the fire, I will be with you. The flame shall not consume you. When you go through the fire, when you go through the flood, I'll be there. And so much so that I'll hold your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help. One of my favourite scriptures. Who's got a right hand? Whenever you do this one, you need to be very careful. No, because we pray for the sick. But I will hold it, saying, fear not, I will help. An ever-present help in time of trouble. Even, oh, but Ken, I ain't been good enough. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Do you know, I got a revelation on that just in the last month or two. For he cannot deny himself. God is faithful, like a stick of rock. Cut him in half, and what would you read? Faithful. In fact, in Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back and he's got that tassels down on his hip, what's his name? Faithful and true. Not got time for that one today. Emmanuel, God with us. And because God is with us, Hebrews chapter 4, 15 says this. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us, with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, even as we are, yet without sin. I'll give you another one. Now I can round it up. Hebrews, where it says, for he himself has suffered being tempted. Therefore, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Listen, my friend, he knows what it's like to be one of us. I believe in incarnation. Big word. God in human form. 100% God, 100% man. Not man claiming to be God, not God playing man, but 100% man. When I look at Jesus, not only do I see God, but I see God incarnate, totally like one of us. Therefore, he knows what it's like to be one of us. You know, whenever you see those old paintings of him with that sublime and the he was one of us. It says he knew what it was to be hungry, knew what it was to be weary. And the Bible tells me he knows what it was to be tempted in every area that we are tempted. So I don't know what you're going through, but Jesus knows, and he's been there. And he overcame, and he will help us overcome. But as we go through, he's with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And I'll give you one more. And you shall call his name Jesus. Now, firstly, I'm going to really burst your bubble. That Jesus wasn't the only baby ever called Jesus. I know that comes as a surprise. Really? It's quite a common name. In fact, it is the Greek rendering of Joshua. Well, well, well. And what? What does Joshua mean? Saviour. And you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Not only the consequence of them, and if you're not a Christian today, let me tell you what is the consequence of your sins. Your sins will take you to hell. I could dress it up, I could make it all flowery, but that is the truth. That's why Jesus died, to save us from hell, but also to save us from sin at work within us, to bring us a new life, to change us, to transform us, to make us whole. Sin has an effect. It destroys. That's why in 10:10:10 he says what? John 10:10? I've come that you might have life and have it in its fullness. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save. Matthew 18. Jesus is seeking. Anyone in this room today who's lost? Guess what? Jesus is seeking you. Not to make you religious, but because you are perishing. The word to save, sozo, one meaning is this, to deliver. The other meaning is to protect. They are the but by implication, to heal, to preserve, to do well, to make whole. Jesus has come, hang on, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to make whole, to do well. What's Christmas all about? Thank God for his indescribable gift, the Bible says. Where would we be if it had not been for the goodness of God? There is no salvation in no other name. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. When you cry out, Jesus, come and save a wretch like me, and I did it. My word. When dinosaurs roamed the earth 53 years ago. 53 years and 3 months, or thereabouts. And my prayer was something like this: God, if you can do anything with this, you can have it. Really deep and theological, that one, isn't it? Very profound. Jesus don't look for us to be deep and profound. Jesus looks for us to be honest. He says he's seeking to save me. So why is it suddenly great revelation? When thank you. I'm a mess. I need help. I'm lost. All right, in closing, I better just close this for you because you were looking at me like you were going for your dinner. On 12 o'clock, look at that. Oh no, I'm not finished yet. Last scripture, Philippians. Chapter 2, and this will sum it all up, I think. And we start round about verse, is it 3 or 5? Have this mind among you, which is in Christ. Have this mind amongst you, which was in Christ Jesus, who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. Listen, the darling of heaven. Heaven revolved around Jesus. And at a certain point in history, he made himself of no reputation. So much so that he was born in Nazareth. It's like saying he was born in Brandon. Yeah, no, look, Emma's agreeing. He's born in a stable, not in a palace. How low could he get? He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And being found in the likeness of a man, he humbled himself unto death. Yea, even death of the cross. The baby that we celebrate at Christmas is the Saviour that we celebrate at Easter. The baby that we see at Christmas is the man who hangs on a cross. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him in the form of a servant, and being found in the likeness of a man, he humbled himself unto death. Yea, even death of the cross. I can give you a couple more scriptures, but I'm not. But I will. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man who hangeth on a tree. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, who in his own body on the tree? Who in their body on the tree bore our sin? That we, having died to sin, might live unto righteousness. And by his stripes you were healed. Anyway, made himself of no reputation, took upon him in the form of a servant, being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself unto death, yea, even death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My friend, today, can I close with just one statement? There is a day coming when every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Saint or sinner, every knee will bow before the throne of God. Now let us do it. Why can't we start practicing? Why can't we get excited about Christmas? Soon and very soon. No longer now is he a baby in a manger. But he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, ever living to make intercession. I could go on and on, but I think I've got enough for you. I can see the turkey eyes rolling. Where are you in all of this? Who do you say I am? Do you say you're a reformer? Do you say, God, man, you're a prophet? Do you say, you're a weeping prophet? Or you're just one of them other good guys? And that's what a lot of people say, don't they? Oh, yeah. Mohammed, Buddha, Confucius, he's just one, he's amongst that lot. No, he's not. I would sing, but I'd get myself in trouble. But an old song we used to sing, far above all, God has exalted him far above all. Hail him as king, don't you know that? At his feet humbly fall, Jesus Christ Jesus is far above all. Where is he in your Christmas? And even more importantly, what is he in your Christmas? Shall we pray? I think whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And maybe it's not the loudest cry, and maybe it's not the most convinced cry. But when you cry out, Jesus, all heaven stands to attention. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do. Maybe today, maybe the first time ever, you want to take Jesus from being a reformer, a revivalist, a prophet, a weepy kind of mushy, slushy kind of whatever you made him, a good guy, to being your saviour and therefore your Lord. If that's you today, do you know, my friend, he's only a prayer away. And that prayer doesn't have to be the great big. But it's just an acknowledgement that I'm lost. I need finding. I'm a sinner. I need saving. I'm dying. I need life. And as soon as you call on the name of the Lord, before you can get the next breath, you have done business with God. And he will hear and answer that prayer. But maybe there's someone in this room today, Christian, call yourself Christian. Where's Christ in your Christmas? Oh, Brother Stroud, I prepared the tree. And you ought to see mine, it's huge, massive, love it. It's all prepared. And I'm preparing the presents. And I start thinking about the menu. But where's Jesus in your Christmas? And this is a challenge for me, as it is for everyone who would call themselves Christian. Should we put Christ back in our Christmas? What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would play my part. What I have, I give him. I give him my heart. And is that you today, everybody in this room, saint or sinner, give him your heart. Should we just take a moment before we close, just to bow again, acknowledge him as Lord, Saviour, lover, brother, friend, and we thank you and we bless you. Come on, just bless the name of the Lord. Bless him for his goodness. Bless him for his faithfulness. Love him for who he is and what he's done. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. And the saints of God say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.